Thank you, Connie. That was a wonderful tribute to our men who have served. And did you put the rose for Darren out on the table? Oh, out on the walkway? Okay. For some of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the little wall area over here in front of the fellowship hall and the tree, that was placed there in memory of Ron and Deanie's son, Darren, who passed away after having served his country in the United States Marine Corps. And what I'm going to be saying is directly related to what's happening today, because God's Word has things to say about the Christian who is to be a good soldier. And I know that part will not have anything to do with what I'm saying, but you will know what I mean in just a minute if you know what a military person becomes. People aren't normally military when they're born. You become military when you're taught military things. Military things just means that you do things together, that you have the mindset of a person who wants to do the same thing at the same time with the same people. For instance, if you go out on a parade ground to march with 72 men, you're not going to get instructions on, well, boys, take off. You're going to be called to attention. Everybody comes to attention together. You're going to be told to forward march, and every person steps with the same step at the same time. And as you are marching, you march to the same step at the same time with the same cadence. Everything is together. Whatever you do it together. And I thought how wonderful that is that we've been talking about together here at Liberty Fellowship for so long. And today we're talking about men who learn to do things together. And you go and you're willing to give everything you've got. Like the song said, some give some and some gave it all. And we're there to do that. And everybody who signs up knows that that could very well happen, that you give it all. And I do appreciate all those. And Tom and I and Dave and Steve, we had the opportunity to grow up in a family of a U.S. Marine. And my dad was a Marine, but he was also one of the kindest, sweetest guys. He's not like that pit bull idea you get of the Marine Corps. He was very military and strict in the way he lived his own life, and therefore he taught us to be the same. But he was also one of the lovingest men you would ever meet. He was the best dad ever. He was. And I so appreciate my dad. Now I want to take you to Daniel chapter 10. And if you would go there, we'll read this together. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10, 11, and 12. And we're going to be speaking for just a short time, so you'll have to listen quick. Going to be for a short time talking about, is your heart set? It doesn't take long to set something, you know. If you're set, you go into that mindset immediately if you're going to. My grandson, Clay, used to have this little phrase he would say. We'd say, get ready, get set, and he'd say, do. He couldn't say go, so he'd say do. And we'd just always say that just because we wanted to hear him say do. But he was always ready for us to say, get ready, get set, and he'd say do. So I'm saying to you, get ready, get set. Some of you just never get it, do you? Then I'll be with you the same way it was with us at Paris Island. Until you get it right, we're going to keep doing it. Okay? Well, the Lord keeps saying that to us. He wants us to get it right. And the only way to get it right is in His manual for living. And He gave it to us. And He said, now read it and live by it, and you'll be where you need to be. So let's see what has to say in Daniel chapter 10, verse 10, 11, and 12. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So Daniel come to a place to where he had set himself and understood what God had to say. When we understand what God has to say to us, that will mean that we have our mind set to do what He wants us to do. And so that's how we'll know that our hearts are set. Let's ask the Lord to bless this scripture, and then we'll give you a few thoughts to take home with you on this day of Veterans Day weekend. Lord, we do thank you for this day. I thank you for all those men who have served our country. And Lord, I just pray that we always keep in mind that you're the God of this country. There is no other God of this country. And that for those who try to make other gods, it will not be a successful country because it's your country. And Lord, I just pray that we always keep you in the very center of this thing. Help us to always pray for our country. Help us to always pray for the men and women who lead our country, that they too will have the mindset of taking things to you for answers to our problems. So we're going to thank you for everything you've done and everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had his heart set, just like he's asking us to do. He had his heart set to understand his Father's will for his life. You remember when he was there, he was going through a little troubled time at that time. He was saying, if it be your will, Lord, let this cup pass from me, and we can see if we can do this a different way. Well, that wasn't what was intended to happen. But he had his mindset on his Father's will. Whatever happens in your personal life or in your church life, we need to remember that our heart needs to be set. We can't be waving in the wind about what God wants us to be and do here at Liberty Fellowship. We need to nail it down. We need to set our hearts that God has a plan for us. He has something that He wants us to be and to do, and so we set our hearts. So when things don't look good, and we tend to, most of us, tend to escape by getting away, some of us call that vacation. You know, we come time for a week away, and we say we're escaping to somewhere to get away from the everyday grind of life, and so we take our vacation. But in our everyday life, when we can't take that vacation, we still tend to escape and walk away, and that's never what the Lord wanted with our life. He wanted us to, as a military person would do, face up to what's in front of you. When you go into battle, you can't see a number of people more probably outnumbering you coming at you, and you say, well, I'm going to skedaddle, I'm going to get out of here. That's not what a soldier does when they go into combat. The mindset is you go into fight until the victory is won. But when we see all these things happening in our life, we can't just take that escape and walk away. We've got to have the mindset. And for every church, there are things that are going to happen in churches that are going to make people step back or or retreat or want to escape. And you can't do that. You've got to have the mindset that God put me here, and I'm here for a purpose, and I'm going to see that purpose through. And whatever He wills for me, that's where I'm going to go. So when we turn with our troubles being revealed to us and to others around us, we turn to the Lord because He's the one who's going to deliver us. I don't turn to other people when there are issues in my life. I turn to the Lord. Just like all of these people that I'm going to be talking about, when problems came in their life, they turned to the one that could help them. So if you want to taste the victory that's going to come in your Christian life, here's what you do. There was a lady in the Old Testament. Her name was Hannah. You all know about her. And here's what the Bible had to say about her. And I think we tend to kind of sweep over her as, well, I've heard her name before and I know the story of Hannah. But we need to know that when the Bible says that she was in bitterness of soul. Bitterness of soul. What she did was, this means she was very distraught in her life. And if you've never walked up on somebody who was very distraught and overwhelmed with all the things that were happening to them, then maybe you haven't seen any of these people that I'm talking about. She didn't call her friends. She didn't text her friends. She didn't go on Facebook. I know that tends to hit a sore point sometimes in today because we hear so much about it. But folks, it's the truth. We don't need to be calling and texting and Facebooking when we have real issues in our life that need to be handled. We need to go to the one who can take care of that. And when Hannah was distraught and overwhelmed in her life, and the Bible says she had bitterness of soul, she prayed unto the Lord. She knew that's where her answer would come from. Her mind was set. I know where my answers are going to come from, and that's where I'm going. If you don't do that when problems come up in your own personal life or in your church's life, you're going to walk away. You're going to escape. We can't do that. I don't want you to do that to me, and I don't want you to do it to each other. And the Lord certainly doesn't want us to do it to Him. So we're going to have our minds set that when we have these issues, we're going to go to Him. David, he says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Every one of us experiences days of fears. It could be fears of what the future holds. It could be fear of what's going to happen that day. There's a lot of different things that causes us fears. Sometimes it's fearful for our children as to what they're going to face in this life that we live in. But we can't go and fall into those fears and then call everybody under the sun and say, I'm so worried and so concerned about my son or my daughter. I mean, it's okay to tell people if you want to, but don't go there first. Go to the one who can help your child. Go to the one who can help your family life. Go to the one who can help you. And that's what David did. He went straight to the Lord and prayed to Him and says, He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. That's who we go to. That's if we've got the mindset to go there as a soldier would when he goes into combat. Paul had the same thing in the New Testament. He says, I have a thorn in the flesh. I don't know. We have difference of opinions about what his thorn in the flesh was, but he was troubled about it. It bothered him. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, he says, for this thing that has my life troubled, whatever it is, he said, this thing that has my life troubled, I besought the Lord thrice. That's how serious he was. He didn't just go to the Lord once and let it go. He said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now, he was willing to accept the will of the Lord. But the first thing he did was he went to the one who could help him with his problem. Did the Lord take the thorn in the flesh away? No, he didn't. And he doesn't always handle the things the way we think he ought to handle them. But I can assure you that if you'll have your mindset knowing that God will handle your life, trust him that he can handle your life, I promise you that you're going to the right person. Now we get down to Daniel, whom we read about today. And the Bible says that he set his heart to understand. Now that gives us a little insight to these other people that I just gave you when they went to the Lord because they had a problem in their life. Because in Daniel it says he set his heart to understand. So first of all, we've got to have our heart set to understand. Understand what? The situation? You may never totally understand the situation in your life. You may totally never understand why things have happened to you the way they have happened. But if you'll keep your heart set to understand what God's will is for your life, I promise you that it will happen. I want to take you away from the scripture that I read with you and Daniel because I got to take you back just a little bit to understand what the angel was saying when he told Daniel that he had his heart set to understand and he understood where he was going in this. And so in chapter 9 and verse 3, he said this, "And I set my face." Was there ever a time in the New Testament where we read about a man who had set his face? Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he had already set his face and his heart, his mind, his very soul, that he was going to Calvary for me and for you. Wouldn't that have been terrible had he been getting so close to that cross, knowing that his life was going to be taken, the blood was going to be drained from his body, and he didn't want that to happen, and he escaped and skedaddled out of there? You and I would not have had the life that we have today, but he didn't do that. But in Daniel he says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God." He knew where his answers were going to come from. "To seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Did he know where he was going with that? Knew exactly where he was going because he knew. He was the same man who would go into the window facing Jerusalem, open the window up, and pray three times a day toward Jerusalem. Did it matter which direction he prayed in? It didn't, but his mind was set. His life was set. He knew exactly what he was going to do. There is nothing worse than being a person who is wishy-washy. People can never depend on you keeping your word. Isn't that a terrible thing? Don't you just hate that? I don't want to be that person. And I'm sure that there were times in my life when I've told somebody, yeah, I'll be there or something, and I never showed up. And that makes me feel so bad later that I did that. But when it comes to our own personal spiritual life, folks, we've got to nail it down because we're responsible to look toward God for the answers to our problems. But he didn't only say it there. Right before in chapter 10 that he said what he did, in verse 21 of chapter 9, in verse 21, 22, and 23, he said this, "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me." Here's why he could say, "I know you understood." It is so important to seek understanding for what God wants. If you read the Word of God and it doesn't, and the light bulb doesn't turn on, and you say, "Wow, that's for me," just keep reading it and ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light bulb on, because you need to see it to understand it. We do. We need to spend time. That's why he said, "Study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word." We need to study the word of God, because then the light bulbs will come on. He said in verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." So it's available for us. You can't say, "I can't understand the word of God." You can understand the word of God. And I know we've tried to come up with different versions of the Bible to so that we could better understand it. And some of them are okay. Some of them you need to learn which ones. They need to be put away because they change some of the things that are said in the Word of God to take away the meaning. And that should never happen. If anything changes the Word of God to take away the meaning, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So he says, I wanted you to have skill and understanding for your life as you live. And he says, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, since we're so greatly beloved. I enjoyed listening to Tom this morning in his class. There wasn't a more passionate concern for the soul of man than what Tom had this morning. But here's an angel telling Daniel, thou art greatly beloved, therefore, since you are, that's why it's therefore, as he would say, since you are greatly beloved, he said, understand the matter. Understand it. Just read it and say, oh, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Turn on the light bulb of my heart. Let me see that and let me live by that so I can be what I need to be. So we need to understand the matter. And then he says, and consider the vision. Consider the vision. Has God given you a vision of what he wants for your life? Has God given you a vision of what he wants for Liberty Fellowship to do in this community and all around Johnson City? If he has, then we need to stick together, we need to set our minds, and we need to do it together. So if there's anything you can do to help get this word out, and that's what we're here for, is to get the gospel out. I am not military in how I pastor. I am military in how I live for my Lord. My heart is set. My mind is set. My soul is set. He set my soul when he saved me. He gave me eternal life and he nailed it down that I am on my way from earth to heaven. And I want to do the same thing. So now I take you back to verse 10 and 11 and 12 just for a second in chapter 10. He found himself on his knees. And I'm just going to quickly give you this little thought here. He found himself on his knees and the palms of his hands. Picture that. Get a vision of that. On his knees and on the palms of his hands. If you don't know what that looks like, here's what it looks like. Now, if that changes how you view me, that's fine. Because I know how you're viewing me. You view me as humble and down on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And that's exactly where he was. Because you see, he had been mourning for 3 weeks with no food and no drink. For 3 weeks. That'll take you to your knees and your hands, won't it? And sometimes we just need to do some things that'll cause us to be more listening to the Word of God in our lives and more aware of what he wants from us. So Daniel was on his knees, on his palms, without any energy in his body. I know how he would have felt because I know how I would have felt. And there he was. And then in verse 11, the angel says, understand my words. And God's saying, I know that sometimes you get down on your knees. I know that sometimes you're on your palms. I know that sometimes you have lost all your energy. I know that you're saying, I just don't want to fight this anymore down here. I'd just soon to go on home. We need to be very careful when we say that. Because God still has us here. And there are people still lost. Do we want to go home? I want to go home, but I don't want to leave today because God's not causing me to leave. When he calls me, I'll go home. But he said, understand my words and stand up right now. Okay, get up. Now, he couldn't have gotten up by himself. He was down on his knees and his palms, and he was weak. But the angel says, I want you now to stand up and stand upright. And he did. And the Bible says when he stood trembling because he understood. And by the way, when you get to this point in your life and you know that there's nothing you can do yourself, you'll stand trembling. Your knees will shake. They'll be weak because you know you can't handle it. But what happened was he stood trembling knowing he didn't have the strength in himself to do what needed to be done. But then verse 12. He was told not to fear. Why? Because he had set his heart to understand. If you have set your heart to understand the things of God, you do not have to stand trembling. You don't, because you're not in charge. He's in charge. You see, when we set our hearts, it's not in what we can do, it's in what God can do through us. So Daniel, he set his heart to understand what God wanted from him. And if you set your heart to understand what God wants from you and you intend to nail that down, you go right ahead because that's how you're going to live. It's wonderful, isn't it? To know that we can set our hearts toward God and we can say, God, whatever you will for my life, that's exactly what I want. Let's set our hearts today. Let's nail it down that we're going to be what God wants us to be. And we're going to be faithful. We're going to be loyal to the things of God. Not to man, but to God. And I promise you, if we're loyal to God, we'll be faithful and loyal to man also. We'll be to man what God wants us to be, not what we want to be. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for causing us to be reminded of what it is to serve our country. That sometimes it takes all. But Lord, help us to always be willing to let it take all for us to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to stand without our knees trembling, knowing that you're in charge of our life. And Lord, I just praise you for everything you've been here today, and I praise you for everything you're going to be. So God, as we stand and think about what you've done for us, if there's some nailing down that needs to be done, if we need to set our hearts towards you, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that we set our hearts so that we can be what we need to be. And we'll praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. And we're going to sing one verse of an invitational hymn. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,